Well, I hope y'all are all doing well this morning. I just want to remind you that next week we'll have a combined service. All Sunday school will be at 9 and the worship service at 10:15. Brother Charlie's going to be sharing next Sunday. And I also want to make sure y'all know, because I'm sure none of you do, that college football starts this next weekend. Amen, amen. That's good, that's good. Because I'm sure that skipped our minds. Boy, I'm looking forward to it. I want to share a passage of Scripture with you this morning that will be immensely familiar to you. You could probably quote it. I probably could too. But just because you get a little nervous sometimes when you're back behind this desk, I've got it in front of me, and I'm going to read it to you. And I'm going to read it out of the King James, which you'll be equally familiar with. I didn't put a sermon topic or title or anything in the bulletin this morning because I just really wasn't sure until the end of the week what the Lord would have me speak on. And I think you'll understand why in just a few moments. But anyway, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. This is a special day for lots of folk. I know that we, Delta State's choir, which my daughter MJ is a member of, this is her senior year, and they came to town this weekend for a jam college rehearsal to kind of get the semester jump started. And so we kept 8 college girls at our house this weekend. It's a special time. And I should not have been surprised, but one of them came down the stairs this morning, and when they did, everybody in there said, "Happy birthday!" to whoever her name was, and didn't know that today was her birthday. So I get here, and then while we were shaking hands, Mr. Delaney down there back there told me that today is Cheryl's birthday. And so happy birthday to Cheryl, too. And if none of you know when your birthday is, if you just want to pick today, it'd be okay. It seems to be the consensus, a good one. So we are thankful for that. This past week when I was, one day I went home for lunch. I don't always get a chance to do that. And I went home for lunch, and while I was sitting there eating, I turned the TV on to catch the news. And while I was there, I don't normally, when I get a chance to do that, pay much attention to it. But something came on it that really caught my attention. And I'll just be honest with you, it broke my heart. And which is easy to do if you've ever listened to the news. There's so many negatives on there. It seems that there's this couple that lived in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And obviously there had been some difficulties there, enough so that they had taken a zip tie and zip tied a 4-year-old little girl. I don't know if it was to a bedpost or to something. And there was a lot of domestic abuse going on. And so eventually the police were called. And so they came and they arrested the two folks, and they cut that little zip tie off of that girl, and they started talking with her to let them know that they were friends, that they weren't going to hurt her, that it was okay. So one of the things, after a few moments, the officer said, "Well, tell me, young lady, what is your name?" And she replied, "My name is Idiot." I just want to tell you, that broke my heart. To think what that little girl must have experienced growing up, and every time anything happened, she was called Idiot to a point that she felt like that was her real name. I want to bring a message to you this morning from Psalm 23, and the Lord just impressed on my heart that maybe there's someone here today that needs encouragement. I don't know about you, but I need it three or four times a day. I don't seem to be able to make it from one situation to the next without something to encourage me and motivate me to keep going on. And I thought, well, where in the world is a familiar and encouraging passage of Scripture? And I was reminded of the 23rd Psalm. So I want to share several things with you. I hope that they will be a blessing and encouragement to you. So I'm just going to dive in. So here we go. First off, in the sixth verse of that, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And this part right here, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I want you to be encouraged today that our shepherd gives us eternal life. And I'm grateful for that today. I'm here to remind you today that heaven is a wonderful place. We've had our pastor that preached a message a few weeks back on heaven and described all of its beauties, and I think it's wonderful. And I know that as great a job as he did, and as many people that I've heard preach on heaven through the years, we've not even scratched the surface of how wonderful a place heaven really is. The late Bishop G.T. Haywood once wrote, "For a time, I had considered the city to be rather small for the saints to dwell in eternally. But when I became awakened to what God has really prepared for them that love him, I was lost." I was lost in amazement. Note the immensity of the holy city, New Jerusalem. The Bible says that it's 1,500 miles square, which means it's 1,500 miles this way, it's 1,500 miles this way, and the part that we miss sometimes is it's 1,500 miles this way. It's four square. That's just the capital city of heaven. That is, if you multiply it out, and most of you know that I'm a math major, so I just get intrigued at things like that. It's multiplied out, it would be 3,375,000,000 cubic miles, and from South Alabama, I'm here to tell you, wow, that's big. That's big. Now, consider it for a moment. If everyone in the whole world went to heaven and no one were lost, which we know that's not the case, but if it were, they could still spread out until the nearest person would be a full mile away from each other with a mile of space to walk over their heads. That's a lot of room. Consider if you started walking just as fast as you could. And I don't know about you, but I've seen people that can really do that speed walking thing well. They walk very fast. But if you started walking as fast as you could without stopping and you kept walking 24 hours a day, several thousand years later, you will not have even walked over the first floor of this 1,500-mile-high city. That's a big city. Now, if you took angel wings and began to fly, rushing by at a speed of a mile a minute, and suppose you kept going and you never stopped to rest or to look or to visit or even speak to anyone, and suppose your flight path were a mile apart, which means you would catch only fleeting glimpses of some things that were a half a mile away, it would take you 6,500 years just to speed through once. Just once. Then, when you get back to your point of beginnings, like the Bible says, old things would have become new, and you get to look at it all over again. Isn't that great? I'm excited about that. Now, down here on earth, some of us have lived in our little cities for 10 years, maybe even 20 or longer, and few have ever gone down every single street and every block in our city. But I'm here to tell you that up there, after millions of years, there will be streets of gold that we've never walked and mansions that we have never seen. I'm here to remind you this morning that our God has provided for us. Our shepherd gives us an eternal life, and he gives it to us in a wonderful place that's called heaven. So that's enough reason right there to be encouraged. And so be encouraged today, folks. There's another thing I want to share with you. My shepherd will make goodness and mercy my constant companions. Now, I am honored here in Olive Branch during these days to walk around and be friends with the different staff that's on staff here. We have 7 full-time staff members. And so I get to walk around with the other 6. Now, I'm not convinced they're as excited about that as I am, but I enjoy being around them because it's a lot of fun. You never know what's coming up next. but it's always going to be something good. For years, I was a young boy on the totem pole, so to say. I was a young staff member, and they always, now I'm next to the oldest, and I'm pushing real hard to be the oldest. I'm grateful this morning that my companions to walk with me through eternity are goodness and mercy, and those are two mighty good companions. Goodness supplies our needs. Y'all remember years gone by, if you were one of these longtime folk that have been members of the church for a while, it used to be that Dr. Scott would get up on occasion and something great would go on and happen, and he'd get to a point and he'd stop and he'd put his hands on the pulpit and he'd say, God is good. And then we'd get all the time. And then he would want to spur it on a little bit further, so he would say back to you, all the time, and you would say, that's right. We are grateful today that goodness is one of our companions. Goodness supplies our needs. Stop and think about it a moment. Is there a need in your life that God has not met? Oh, he's blessed me far more than I deserve. I've always enjoyed Dave Ramsey when people call in on his radio show and they say, well, how are you doing today? And he always says, better than I deserve. And that's me too. I am better than I deserve. So goodness supplies our needs. But there's another companion that we're going to have throughout eternity, and that is mercy. I'm so glad today that mercy blots out our sins. If you're grateful today that your sins have been blotted out, would you say amen? Amen. I am too. Mercy blots out our sins. Now, if we want to be honest about this, I don't deserve to have my sins blotted out. The Bible says that I am a sinner, that by all rights I am a lost person and I deserve to die, but Jesus loved me so much that he allowed God loves me so much that he allowed his son Jesus to come and walk this earth for 33 years and ultimately to be nailed to a cross, suspended between heaven and earth, and to suffer, to bleed, and to die so that I could be forgiven of my sins. And on February the 2nd, 1979, I opened my heart to Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you today, bless God, he came in, and he came in to stay. And ever since that day, I've been on my way to heaven, and I'm looking forward to that day when I'm finally going to get there. Amen. Be encouraged today that your shepherd makes goodness and mercy your constant companions. But there's another thing I want to share with you. My shepherd provides me with abundance. It says in verse 5, my cup runneth over. Years ago, we were serving at Four Mile Creek Baptist Church in Escatawa, Mississippi, down there by Moss Point. I had just left a place, and I was at music, and it was for the first time I had never not done music. I know that's a double negative. I'm sorry about that, but you understand. I didn't do music at this church. I did youth and children's church. Didn't know nothing about neither one of them, but I learned in a hurry. Well, it was a small church, but we were growing and had a sweet spirit, and I needed that at the time. Well, we had an old man named Percy Tillman. Percy had rheumatoid arthritis, probably as bad as I have ever seen it on anyone. His hands were gnarled up where he had to pry them just to be able to grab anything. If you went to shake his hand, you usually just shook one finger because that's all he could get out. But he loved Jesus. He loved the Lord. When he got saved, he got a dose. That's how we say it down in Lower Alabama. And so he was excited, and he was a shouter. He'd get something, the pastor would say something, and he would raise that old gnarled hand up and wave it back and forth, and he'd go, "Woo! Amen!" And he'd just have a spell. Well, one day, Percy showed up at church, just like he always did, and he had to limp to kind of get in, and he had his Bible in one hand, and he had a metal bucket in the other hand. And we really didn't ask much about Percy, but, you know, we just said, bless your heart, that's Brother Percy. He walked down to the second row, and he sat in his normal place. Well, after a while, it got the best of me. And so I had to go over to him, and I said, Brother Percy, it's so glad to see you this morning. I'm sorry, but I just can't help but ask, what are you doing with that bucket over there? Well, he said, it's easy, Brother Bill. God has blessed my life so much, and he's poured so much out upon me. People talk all the time about your cup running over. I'm way past the cup level, and I brought my pail today because God's going to pour that much out on me. Wow, that's pretty good. Well, be encouraged today that my shepherd provides us with abundance. Now, I want you to make sure you get this part, because when I thought about that news story, this is the part that really came back to me. This is a huge blessing, and we overlook it so many times. There's so many things in the scriptures that if we're not careful, we will overlook. In Bible days, it was the custom that when someone came to visit you, the host, when they would come in, they'd take their shoes off, they would come in, they would fill your cup based on how long they wanted you to stay. Therefore, if you really weren't high on their hit list, so to say, they might just put a little bitty bit there thinking, well, we'll get them to drink this and get on out of here. So that's how it was done. Now get this. Wow. What a blessing to know that it says in that passage of Scripture that the cup that God has for us is overflowing, folks. Does that not help you be reminded that God doesn't want to just have a short relationship with you and then let you be on your merry way? No, He overflows your cup because He wants your presence. He wants to be with you. He loves you. So if you don't get anything else out of this message this morning, be encouraged today that God loves you. He wants you and He desires to spend time with you. Amen. Well, there's another thing I want to share with you. My shepherd cleanses and refreshes me. It also says in that fifth verse, Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, back in biblical times, oil did a couple of things then. Now, first off, and you understand, we're talking about sheep in this context. It helped disinfect cuts on the sheep. So if the shepherd noticed that one of the sheep had cuts on him, he would take some oil and he would pour it there close to that wound, and he would separate the wool, and it would help keep dirt from getting so easily upon that wound. So it was almost a medicinal type of thing. It helped to disinfect those cuts, but it also helped to moisten the skin when it would become dry and cracked, because those climates over there were extremely hot and dry. And if they weren't careful, their skin would begin to crack and separate. And so the oil actually helped that. It helped moisturize the skin. It was like a medicine, if you want to say it that way. The old hymn that it's not in our hymn books, it's almost like old spiritual, really, talks about that as being a balm. And it's taken out of Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. It says there, Is there no balm in Gilead? No healing? And the illustration that I want to share with you this morning was, it goes way back. When I was a young person, that tells you right there, it's been a long time ago. When I was a young person, we were in the sanctuary of my home church one day, and we were practicing a song. It was this song. Our music director was trying to get a bunch of young people excited about singing, There is a Balm in Gilead. Well, he was struggling, let's just say it that way. And so we were all saying, hey, well, I want to sing that song like, well, a balm, what's a balm anyway? Well, he just kept trying to make us understand about a balm, and it didn't work. And so about that time, our pastor, John Merck, great big old mountain man, happened to be walking through the worship center. And our music director heard him, and he turned around, and he said, Hey, Brother John, would you tell these young people what a balm is? And he'd say, Sure, boy. Boom! Choir practice was called right after that. Now, I know that y'all know me well enough that I'm a simple fellow. And I want to get this across to you. It just makes sense, but what a blessing. The sheep and the shepherd, for the shepherd to put that oil on the sheep, that sheep had to be in close proximity to the shepherd in order to get that anointing. Obviously, no further than an arm's length. Let me remind you one more time. God desires not just that you're His child. He wants to be close to you. He wants to draw you up right by His side. He wants to put His arm around you, and He wants to love on you really good. So be encouraged today that our shepherd cleanses us, and He refreshes us. Another thing, my shepherd shields me from danger. It says that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. One of the responsibilities of the shepherd back then was that when it was time for the flock to move, they would scout ahead and look for the best place to set up. I'm reminded years ago I watched MASH, and one of the episodes, the MASH unit had to relocate. So Colonel Potter, they called a helicopter, and he went up in that helicopter, if you remember that episode, and he scouted out looking for a place, and there were a few things that he was looking for. He was looking for water. He was looking for a shelter where they could set up the surgical unit, and he was also looking for a place that people couldn't easily sneak up on him. Well, the same thing is true. Some place with water and pasture and didn't make for an easy prey. And you can understand why that would be important to folks, a shepherd and his sheep. Did you know that God does that for you and me? He really does. He does that for you and me. Did you know that Satan has asked God for you? Satan wants you. He wants to ruin your life. He wants to make you miserable. And so he has asked God for you. And if you will let him, God will place you in a place where you can be protected from all that Satan throws at you. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God protects me. Because I think sometimes that my days are bad enough, I can't imagine what it'd be like if Satan had his full arsenal thrown at me. I'm grateful that he does that. That God protects me. Well, there's another thing that I'll share with you. My shepherd disciplines me for my good. Now, contrary to popular belief, I'm not the squeaky good fellow that never does anything wrong. Y'all aren't surprised. I do things sometimes that are wrong. Sometimes I get out of line. Sometimes I don't do what I need to do. The Bible in this chapter that we read says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, obviously, a staff is to guide the sheep. You've seen this on different shows. It's to guide the sheep into a different direction when they go on a path that may be detrimental to their well-being. And so instead of just allowing a sheep to go and do something and run into something they're going to have trouble with, that shepherd will take that shepherd's staff and do his best to redirect the sheep. And that's what God does with us sometimes. He uses different things that if we're heading the wrong direction to kind of bring us back. Now over in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, verse 37, the Bible says, I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. Now, back in Old Testament times, when sheep would come back from being out that day, they would, ever so often, the shepherd would hold his staff out, or rod, and he would make the sheep to pass under the rod. And when the sheep passed under that rod, according to the scriptures, the shepherd would take the time to look at the sheep over, to inspect the sheep, to make sure that they were in good shape. And yes, sometimes God does that with us. He has to look deep within the recesses of our heart, according to Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. Sometimes he has to do some correcting to us so that we don't go in a different direction that we need to go. But the great thing about that is that it just proves one more time, he wouldn't do that, folk, if he didn't love us. He wants what's best for us. And if there's anybody who knows what's best for us, it's God. He knows what's best, and he wants us to serve him. Another thing, I'm so grateful for this one. My shepherd will never leave me. Aren't you glad that our shepherd is never going to forsake us, and he's never going to leave us? Because the word says in that verse, for thou art with me. Now, as you have heard through the years, this is kind of where Psalm 23 turns. For a long time early in the chapter, it talks about him and thee, but when it gets to this point, for thou art with me, it becomes very personal. Very personal. Thou art with me. God is not saying that there will be some presence that's with you. He's not saying that I'll take care of you by hook or crook. He's guaranteeing it. He is saying, for thou art with me. I will be with you. I will protect you. I will meet your needs. Now, the Bible says when evil was pressing in, it talks about in this chapter, the valley of the shadow of death. And I always try to say this when I'm at a funeral message. We always talk about that valley and how difficult it is. But if you ever notice, that talks about shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I want to encourage you today that my shepherd gives me confidence in every situation. And that's what it reminds me of. It's the shadow of death. It is not death itself. I have confidence because I know that God is near me. He's near me all the time. I remember when my children were growing up. When they were growing up, they would be so much bolder if I was there to help protect them. You know what I'm talking about? If I'm standing there, Andy could have looked around for me and said, "Yeah, get him, get him." They're okay because I'm there to help take care of them. The presence of a shadow means that there's a light behind us. Isn't that a blessing, folk? Because God is representative of that light, and He is there with us. So be encouraged that your shepherd gives you confidence in each and every situation. Well, my shepherd has a vested interest in the way I live. In the third verse it says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Obviously, God leads us through the reading and studying of His Word. God leads us through the wooing of the Spirit. And God leads us in His providence. In other words, the situation that you may find yourself in. God doesn't have you where you are by accident. He has a plan for you right where you are. And if that weren't the case, He'd put somebody else there. But since you're there and you're His, you need to obey Him and represent Him well. Just a couple of things and I'm done. My shepherd renews my body and soul. Boy, I'm grateful for that one. My shepherd renews my body and restores my soul. In verses 2 and 3, He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I shared with you a few moments ago how that when I was at Four Mile Creek Baptist in Escatawa, what I didn't say was that before that church, I had served for a little over 4 years at the Crawford Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. That's actually where I was at when me and Vicki got married. And we got married in that church, and I had 4 years of service there. Toward the mid to latter part of my time there, Satan got into that thing. Before that, we were blowing and going and people were being saved. I've told some folk before, and it's very true, that there was a period of time while I served at Crawford where there were 9 months. For 9 months, we did not have a worship service Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night when someone wasn't saved. Every service, someone was saved. The choir grew and just blew out the sides. We had to put people on the stage to get them all in there. It was just a glory time. Money was coming in. It just, every time you turned around, something had just exploded what we thought it would do. Well, you know, Satan don't like that. And so he got a hold of that. There was two, the pastor had been there, but the fellow who was Ed in outreach had been there longer than any of us. And Satan put a wedge between the pastor and the associate. It got worse and worse and worse to a point that letters were written, and finally it came down to one of those infamous staff business meetings on a Wednesday night. The place was packed out. There were more people that showed up that night with Robert's Rule of Order books than there were Bibles. One of my young people got up and said that and walked out. I'd never been so proud of somebody in my life. Well, it was a difficult thing. Finally, it got to the point that during that time, they called the church to a vote. And they voted on whether, one, to ask the pastor to leave or let him stay. Ask Brother Bill to leave or to stay. The associate had already gotten to the point he resigned, but they didn't do anything with it. And the third part of that ballot was to ask to accept the resignation or to reject the resignation. The vote came on a Sunday morning. I'll never forget it. It was a terrible, terrible time. They voted, I think, 51% to 49% to ask the pastor to stay. There were four votes for me to leave. Those four people came to me later and said, Brother Bill, we love you. We don't want you to go anywhere, but we just didn't want you to have to be in the middle of this mess anymore. Well, I'd already had a church dealing with me, and it wasn't too much longer after that I did leave. And they voted to accept the resignation of the associate pastor. I know I painted a pretty bleak picture for you, and I would be lying if I told you that everything was rosy. It wasn't. It was a tough, tough time. One of the hardest times of ministry I've ever had in my life. And yet somehow, at the appropriate time, and I give God all the praise for this, wasn't looking to leave, somehow somebody in Escatawa, Mississippi, got a hold of my resume. And they called me and they said, Bill, we want you to come. We want you to work with Children's Church and youth. And I said, what about music? No, got a music director. It would be the first time that I'd ever not done music. And I struggled with that for a long time. Finally, though, we accepted the call, and me and Vicky moved there. And I'm here to tell you. You know that part in that scripture we read just a minute ago? He leads me beside the still waters, and he restoreth my soul. He did that for me in Escatawa, Mississippi. He restored my soul. He led me beside still waters. We went to that church and they embraced us just like y'all have embraced me when I came here years ago. They embraced us. They loved on us. They let us do what we felt God leading us to do. And it was a sweet, sweet time. And I was reminded during that time that there are people in God's church that mean business for him. Oh, there's some that are squeaky and they usually get to oil. But there's some good folk that love Jesus, that mean business for him. And I want to tell you that God restored my soul. Well, almost finished now. The first verse of that 23rd Psalm, it says, I shall not want. And I'm reminded by that my shepherd supplies my needs. Our needs and our wants may be two different things, but God definitely meets my needs. I don't need anything that God hadn't given me fourfold over. He's been so good to me. I can testify that God has met my every need. And then last but not least, it says the very first line, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm reminded today that my shepherd belongs to me, and I belong to my shepherd. Aren't you glad that it says the Lord is my shepherd, and it's not the Lord is the shepherd or the Lord is a shepherd? He's my shepherd. It all has to do with that personal relationship that we have. And we only have a personal relationship when we ask that shepherd to come into our heart and to save us from our sin. Now let me ask you this. Why in the world would you not want to serve someone that loves you this much? Oh, I would. If I hadn't done it, I'd do it again this morning. I'm grateful today that my shepherd provides my every need and that he loves me so very much. What about you this morning? What is it that God needs to do for you? Does he need to become your shepherd? Or do you need to be encouraged through a situation that you may be in right now? Do you think that some certain thing that you're going through is never going to get better? Just like that old song says, hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Stay with Jesus. He's going to bring you safely through. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. And I encourage you to just do what God leads you to do. Maybe you need to just pray there in your pew and ask God to restore that joy to you. Maybe you need to come down and take Brother Charlie by the hand. I don't know what you need to do, but you do, and God does. So may I just say, as a way of encouragement, please do what God leads you to do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your goodness and your love, and I just want to thank you for how you have worked in my life and how you have provided for me. God, if I were to die today and stood before you, I could never thank you enough for the many ways you've blessed my heart. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning
that needs to make a decision or that needs to draw back closer to you, I pray that they may do that this day. And may we be reminded once again that the God that wrote this book, that created this universe, that interacts into our life each and every day, that God so loves us. Help us, Lord, to respond accordingly to what you have us to do this day. We'll praise you for it. We ask it now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand, please? And let me encourage you, do what God wants you to do.